All right, everybody good? All right, I gotta say good morning to our Crescent campus because we're videoing for them right now. So good morning, Crescent campus. Good to be with you guys, everybody watching at home. If you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. Exodus chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. This is week number 3 of our series called Following God into the Unknown. And in the series, we've been looking at the life of Moses and spending some time looking at the Exodus out of Egypt and how all of that relates to our life today. Today will be the last Sunday that we're not seeing the Exodus actually start. Next week, as we get into it, we'll be looking at Moses and Aaron really going up and really facing Pharaoh and what that looks like. But we really have to spend some time setting up this last part of it today. Let me start today with a visual illustration. This is a hair dryer. Everybody, how many of you have a hair dryer in your home? How many of you use a hair dryer ever in your life? Anybody looking around? I mean, some of you probably don't need one or probably could use one. I'm not sure. Just keeping it real. You can do a lot of things with these hair dryers. How many of you use a hair dryer for something other than drying the hair? Ooh, that's a lot more people. Like, what are some things that you've done? Shout them out. What? I can't hear, so I'll just say, like, you can remove, like, tags and labels with these, right? Windows? You can do windows with them, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but when you bake a cake and you put icing on it, if you blow it with a hairdryer, it glosses the icing. Did anybody know that? I Googled that to find that out. Who knew that? Anybody know that? I didn't know that. You can dust with a hairdryer. I found that when I Googled it as well. I want you to hear how powerful this thing is. Just a little tiny thing. Check this out. Wait a minute. It's not working. I got what? Oh, it's not plugged. Oh, oops. Great sermon illustration, Ryan. There we go. This is how they do hurricanes. Oh, well, that's hot. It's got a cool button on it. That's kind of cool. All right, so it's plugged in now, right? This thing is amazing. It's complex. I don't know how to turn it off. I have no idea. Ooh, you got to slide it up. Down is one setting. Off. Super high, super hot, right? I'm sure if you took this thing apart, there are all kinds of parts in there. It has potential to do some things. But here's what everybody needs to know. If it's not plugged in, it's what? Useless. If it's not plugged in, it has no power. This was not created to power itself. It's so complex and so unique, but it has to have a power source other than itself to make it work. Can we all agree on that, yes or no? Now, I'm glad we can agree on that because at the end of the day, you are way more complex than a hairdryer. Like, you were put together, designed by God. Like, your DNA is so unique and so specific, and God designed us, each and every one of us, on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. But just like that hairdryer, he didn't design us to go through life powered by our own power. He designed us to be plugged into a power source greater than us. That would be himself. And if we're not plugged into the power of God, well, we'll drift away. We'll take our eyes off of Jesus, or we'll begin to do things that we used to say, well, I can't believe so-and-so does that. I can't believe they go there. I can't believe they do those things. We'll actually become that person. We were designed to go through life plugged into Jesus, plugged into the Lord, plugged into a power source greater than us. And that's what I want to talk about today as we're taking this journey through the book of Exodus. We've been talking about Moses. And Moses at some point realized what God is asking me to do is a pretty big deal. I'm going to have to get plugged in to a power source. But if you can believe this, Moses actually kept telling God no over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't know if there's anybody in this room today that really wrestles with telling God no over and over and over again. Listen, like God tells you to do something and you say no. Or God tells you to do something and you say maybe. Or God tells you to do something and you say later. Moses did the same thing, but Moses then had a breakthrough. And when he had that breakthrough, well, today we know him as one of the greatest men, not just in the Bible, but in the history of the world. So we're going to take a look at what's going on. Because last week, remember, we left off, Jesus is on fire in the middle of the bush. We ended the last 2 weeks like that. Jesus is in the middle of the bush. That's Jesus in there on fire. Moses is having a conversation with this man on fire, literally this man, Jesus, in the bush. And remember, what was the first thing Jesus asked Moses to do? Take off your shoes, right? Take off your shoes. We talked about that. Then last week, Moses asked him two questions. He said, who am I? Like who am I? Like, you got the wrong person. Like, my father-in-law, he's a pastor. He would be way better at this. Or, you know, Jesus, who I haven't done anything. Like, I killed a guy a long time ago, and I've been wandering around, and like, who am I? Jesus didn't even answer the question. And then he said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am. And Moses is like, oh. And they kind of worked that out. And you would think that maybe Moses at that point would be like, okay, I'm in. Let's go. Let's do this thing. I'm on it. Let's go. But nope. Moses still had a problem. And I want you to look at this, because this issue that Moses brings up is an issue that many of us wrestle with today. And it's an issue that can keep us unplugged from the power of God. Check this out. This is Moses, chapter 4, verse 1. But Moses protested again. Hold on. This is when we give God excuses, right? This is us giving God an excuse. Watch this. What if, what's that next word say? They. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Can you believe that Moses was considering saying no to God because he was concerned what other people who didn't even know him might think about him? Aren't you glad we've made so much progress in 3,000 years? Moses almost said no to getting plugged into God because he wanted to stay plugged into people. He asked it twice. What if they say, and there are so many people that won't take their next step in their relationship with Jesus because what will they say? What will they say? And it's multiplied exponentially in the world we live in because of social media. Some of the meanest people in the world are on Facebook. You might know them, don't point. But we will let people who don't even know us actually have access to our emotions and our spiritual maturity. We let them define us. And they don't even know us. And God's probably looking at Moses saying, who cares what they say? You ever spoken to a man in a bush on fire? What about me? I'm standing right here on fire in the middle of the bush. Hello? I'm just telling you, church, people sometimes will cause us to unplug from what God really wants to do in our life, and we can miss it. We can miss it because we're so concerned about what they say. Well, I love God because God is like, all right, you want to dance, boy? Let's dance. God replies, the Lord asks him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Now hold up. Moses asked, what if they? What if they? God doesn't answer his question. If you read the Gospels, Jesus rarely answers a question. In fact, most of the time when somebody asks Jesus a question, he asks them a question back. And so he said, what if they say? And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff? Probably said just like that. Shepherd has nothing to do with the question I just asked you, dude. Like, I know you're on fire in the middle of the bush, but like, I didn't even ask you about this. Now, the reason I bring that up is because when Moses began to push back on God, God said, what is that in your hand? In other words, God didn't say, hey, I want you to plug into my power, but in order to plug in my power, you're going to have to go to a certain place. Now, I love going to certain places. I love the mountains. I love the beach. How many mountain people are there? How many beach people are there? All right. I love both of those places. Like, I figured out I love them both equally, except I like the beach better. I love to go to certain places. I love to go to certain restaurants. There are some of my favorites. I love to go to certain church services. I love our church. I feel like God shows up every time we get together. But the power of God isn't necessarily found in a place. Some people think the power of God is always found in one particular person. And the power of God isn't in a place. The power of God is personal. And it starts with God asking a question. And the question that God is asking every person in this room today is, what is in your hand? You want to experience my power? What is in your hand? A shepherd's staff? Yeah. And God's like, yeah, I can use that. What is in your hand? What is in your, like, is there an issue you need to confess? A problem you need to ask for help with? Like, you've got in your hand what it takes to get plugged into the power of God right now. You don't have to wait for it. You can have it right now. And so Moses is like, I got a staff. And then verse 3 says, throw it on the ground, the Lord told him. Now, I like to bring this up. Moses hadn't read this story, so Moses doesn't know what's going on, right? What do you think Moses thought was going to happen when he threw the stick down? Nothing. You want me to throw the stick down? Like, that's it? He throws the stick down. And the Bible says, so Moses throws down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back and sharted. That's in the Hebrew. Now, listen, my opinion right here. This is not the church's opinion. This is not written in any of our decrees, doctrines, core values, anything. This is my opinion, and I'm right, but the only good snake is a dead snake. Amen? Amen. That's the only good snake. Now, here's the thing that gets me about this. Moses is a desert man. Moses has been in the desert his whole life, 40 years. He knows the difference between a poisonous snake and a non-poisonous snake. And a non-poisonous snake to a man that's lived in the desert his whole life isn't going to scare Moses. I believe the reason he jumped back is this is a poisonous snake. This is a problem. This is an issue. This could get deadly. And here's what really blows my mind in this text. God is communicating something to Moses right here. And I believe he's communicating something to us. This stick could have turned into anything, but it turned into a snake. I want you to think about this. Up until this point in the scriptures, we only see a snake one other time. Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent, when the enemy Satan took the form of a serpent and deceived Adam and Eve. And what God's communicating to Moses is, you're about to step into a spiritual battle, but if you're plugged into the power of God, you'll be all right. Listen to me. We are in a spiritual battle in America today, in the world. Listen, I'll go ahead and confess. Most of you know this about me. There's not a woke bone in my body. I am not woke. I'm dead asleep. All right. I am not politically correct. I never have been. In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you that the issues that people are calling political issues are not political issues. They're spiritual issues. The whole transing the kid movement, that's a spiritual issue. I'll go ahead and call it what it is. It's demonic. Because when it happens overseas to young kids, we call it gender mutilation. When it happens to kids in America, we call it gender affirming care. That's messed up. That is messed up. We'll look at the Bible and we'll say, oh my gosh, they sacrifice their kids. How brutal. We're sacrificing ours in the movement. Now listen, I'm just going to call it what it is. It's a spiritual issue, and it's an issue the church doesn't need to be afraid to speak out on and say, thus saith the Lord. That's where we're going to stand. Amen? The whole thing about hiding, like your kids go to school and claim one thing and the parents aren't informed, that's a spiritual issue. Spiritual issue. We all are dealing with spiritual issues. For me, handling my money was a spiritual issue for the longest time. For my first addiction ever, when I was a kid, it was to porn. I had to understand it was a spiritual issue for me. I had to overcome it. There was something spiritually off, a spiritual battle going on inside of me. And God is saying, this is going to be a spiritual war, Moses. You're going to step into some spiritual issues. But watch this, verse 4. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Right there, I'm out. Right there, I'm done. Anybody else? I'm like, listen, the bush on fire, whew, that's awesome, but I'm out. Because even for people that might even possibly pick up a snake, you know you don't pick up the snake by the what? By the tail, right? You pick it up behind the head. If you pick it up by the tail, you could get bitten. It leaves you vulnerable. So this is a step of faith for Moses, yes or no? Yeah, absolutely. By the way, for people that tell you that following God is always easy, is not. We got to overcome some fear. Reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. That's a cool trick. Pull that off at a party sometime. You'll get a crowd around. But don't miss this. What God is telling Moses is, you're stepping into a spiritual war, but Moses, you have authority over the enemy because you're plugged into me. We don't have to be scared when we're plugged into the power of God, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? We don't walk in apology. We walk in victory as followers of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be worried. Now, Moses is on a roll. He throws a stick down, turns into a snake. Jumps back over, picks up a snake, becomes the stick. He's like, that's pretty cool. And then this is crazy. Verse 5. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Can you imagine this? Hey, guys, God sent me. How do we know? Throw down a stick. Watch it. Here comes a snake. Oh, that's kind of cool. I just think that's funny. Verse 6. Now put your hand inside your cloak. Now, in my mind, I always envision Moses kind of being dressed like a Jedi Knight, like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi or something like that in the desert. That's kind of how I see this. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. This is a problem. This is a huge, huge problem. Everything's going great for Moses. Things are going good. He's talking to a man in the bush on fire. Things are back and forth, and it's great, and I'm yes, and I'm no, and I'm this, and I'm that, and take the stick and throw it down, pick up the snake. Oh, it's a stick again. Like this is really cool. Like God is really doing some cool stuff in my life. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how when things go cool in our lives, and then all of a sudden we just kind of hit it. You know, like when my nephew was born. This was like before I was a parent. One of the coolest sounds in the world, there's not a better sound, is when a baby is cackling, laughing. Am I right? When they're just out of control laughing. You'll do whatever it takes to get a baby just to cackle. Like, we will drop our IQ 100 points just to get that baby to... Right? Am I right? So I'm not suggesting this. I'm just saying this is what I was doing. I was trying to make the baby laugh. And so I had this baby. His parents were in the room. And listen, I would never write a parenting book. If I did, the title would be How to Make Sure Your Kid Goes to Therapy. All right, that would be it. And so people ask all the time, why don't you do parenting messages? Why don't you do a parenting class? Okay, no. Anyway, I don't even know. But I've got this baby, and we're having fun. And they were like, throw him up in the air and catch him. He loves when you do that. And so I throw him up, and he's like cackling. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest sound in the world. I did it again, and I caught him. I threw him up a third time, and true story, I didn't see the ceiling fan. I threw him up, and it was like, tick, 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 tick. He's fine. He's fine. He just always walks to the left and can't say the number six. But other than that, turned out great. He turned out great. But the reason I bring that up is, isn't that how we feel sometimes in our relationship with Jesus? Where we feel like, man, we're so full of joy. Life is awesome. And then it's like he takes us and throws us into the ceiling fan. I talked with somebody recently. I said, how's everything going? They're like, it's going awesome. I said, well, isn't that awesome? They said, no, I'm freaked out. I said, what do you mean you're freaked out? They said, I get freaked out when things are going awesome because usually that means something horrible is about to happen. I was like, I completely understand. I feel the same way. I felt like I was the only one. Now, the reason I bring that up is, again, Moses is on a roll. The whole snake stick thing, it's a good thing. And then God tells him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he does it. He pulls it out, and he's got leprosy. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think he was confused, yes or no? Yeah, wait a minute, God. I did what you said to do, and I got leprosy. You think maybe he's a little bit frustrated, yes or no? Yeah, you think he had some questions, yes or no? Absolutely. And what he could have done is said, you know what, God? This has been great. This has been fun. It's been a good time talking to you. Everything was cool. But the reason I have leprosy is because I listened to you and I'm done. At this point, Moses could have turned around and walked away and he would have died because the leprosy eventually would have consumed his entire body. Moses experienced something that hurt, that was confusing, that was painful, but he stayed connected. I'm saying that because there may be some people here, maybe you've recently gone through something that's confusing. You've gone through something that hurt. You've gone through something painful. And that is, man, that's the easiest bailout. You know what? I got hurt. I'm leaving. You know what? I have questions. I'm out. You know what? Things aren't going the way I think they should be, and so I'm done with this place. But by the way, if you're waiting to have all your questions answered, you're never going to have them answered. I'm almost 51 years old, still got questions, and I'll have questions until the day I die. Moses could have disconnected right here and said, I would have never gotten leprosy. But see, he stayed plugged into the power of God. Sometimes God takes us through tough things that are incredibly uncomfortable and incredibly difficult. We may even think it's going to be the death of us, but watch what happens. Verse 7. Now put your hand inside your cloak. And at this point, Moses was probably like, I've got nothing to lose. So he puts his hand back in his cloak. When he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. And I think what God is communicating to Moses in this text and what he's communicating to us is, Moses, this is going to hurt, but you're in luck because I'm a healer. See, somebody here needs to hear that. God knows you're hurt and he's a healer. God can heal you of your addiction. God can heal you of your anxiety. God can heal you of your depression. God can heal you of your shame. God can heal you from guilt and worry and fear and doubt. God can heal us from these things because he's the great physician. He is the one who has the whole world in his hands, and he knows. I know you're hurt. And he's saying, if you'll stay plugged into me, you'll experience healing that could not be experienced apart from me. Don't get disconnected when you're mad or confused. Lean in. Because God is getting ready to do a healing work. Amen? So you would think that would be enough. Like Moses now be like, oh, I got leprosy. Put it back in. Oh, it's clean. You would think that would be great, right? Nope. Verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I am not very good with words, and I never have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled, which I think is funny. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. You say that over and over again. If he wasn't good with words, he couldn't have said that. But sometimes we make up excuses that make no sense, don't we? That's what he's doing. He's basically telling God, God, I'm like not a speaker person. And that's what Moses is telling God. God, again, who am I? Who am I? You got the wrong person. I have zero ability. And I love God's answer. God doesn't go, oh my gosh, Moses, you're so right. Watch this, verse 11. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? In other words, don't miss this. God is not interested in our ability. He's interested in our availability, because if we're available, he makes us able. I heard somebody say years ago, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. If you're available, if you will make room, God says, I am able to do more in you and through you than you could ever possibly imagine. But we make these excuses and we still sit on that thing. Who am I? Who am I? I can't do this. I can't do that. God's saying, go. God's saying, move. God's saying, I want you to do this. And we're sitting there questioning and we're making excuses, or we're saying, not now, maybe later. I'm not sure. What will they say? What are people going to think? Where are people going to, are people going to exclude me? What's going to happen? And God is speaking to us and telling us what he wants us to do. And we're just still making all of these excuses. Moses continues his argument with God. And have you ever noticed, you're not going to win an argument with God? So Moses finally gets frustrated, and God told him, now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. In other words, I don't want to do this. And so if you're here today, and you have ever felt like telling God, no, God, I don't want to go, I don't want to do this, so did Moses. And Moses has been putting up a pretty good fight so far, hasn't he? But then something happens. Something happens, and after this thing happens, Moses has zero excuses. After this thing happens, Moses stops fighting, he stops resisting, and he steps into what God is calling him to do. What was this thing that caused his breakthrough? Look at this, verse 14. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. How cool is that? I think God went ahead and preempted Moses' excuse. What about your brother Aaron? I ain't seen him in a long time. He's on the way. Look, he's here to see you right now. He's going to be glad to see you. Took away his excuses. He doesn't like me. Nope. He's going to be glad to see you. Basically, God is telling Moses, hey, Moses, you don't have to do this alone. When we plug into the power of God and get connected with the people that are plugged into the power of God, nothing is impossible. Verse 15, talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what you do. In other words, this is going to be a battle. And Moses, I know you can't do this by yourself. It's going to take somebody else. Listen to me. We can't make it in life on our own. I don't need anybody. That's a lie from the pit of hell. This is another one. I try to talk about this every time, so I know I'm repeating myself. All I need is Jesus. No. No, you don't. When Jesus, the night he was crucified, he was in the garden. He didn't go away and pray by himself. He asked Peter, James, and John to go with him. If Jesus wasn't enough for Jesus, listen. What he's doing for us right here is modeling for us that in our deepest moments of hurt and pain, we don't need to push away. We need to pull people in. We can't do this alone. That's why we have this church. We have this church so people can plug into the power of God and get connected with other people that are plugged into the power of God. And it's amazing what a group of people that are kingdom-minded, plugged in, what a difference they can make in this world together. It's incredible. And then God summarizes it and he says this, verse 16, Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. In other words, Moses, again, you don't have to do this alone. And that's the good news. If you're here today, if you're wrestling with anything, you don't have to do it alone. Again, that's why we have church. Because then God said, take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. We're going to dive into that more next week. But after this, Moses and Aaron go on to lead one of the greatest movements of God in the history of the world because they stayed plugged into the power of God and they stayed connected to each other. God, we need each other. Together, we can do anything. So let's pray together. Father, right now I pray and just ask you, God, that you would be speaking to our hearts. And that, God, we would be available. God, we would just be willing. God, that we would face our fears. God, that we would walk in authority. That we would stay connected with you. That we would let you bring healing into our life. God, that we would just make room. That we would just open our hearts and our minds and say, God, I'm going to make room for you to move in my life. God, I don't want to see what I can do. I want to see what you can do through me by being connected to you. God, I'll make room. Jesus, have your way in our hearts and in our lives. And God, we pray for each other. And we pray, God, for healing. And we pray for hope. And we pray for joy. And we pray for peace. And we pray for love.